So I want to talk about anxiety and imposter syndrome. And more importantly, I want to say this on the record. Anxiety and imposter syndrome are not the problem. The problem is thinking we shouldn't feel them. Okay, on today's episode of Stillness in the Storms, I'm going to talk about my journey with imposter syndrome and anxiety and my experience of it. So is anxiety and imposter syndrome a real big problem? Those voices inside of our head that, you know, are they the problem or should we get rid of them? What should we do with them? How to deal with them? How to get over them and things like that. That's on today's episode. So welcome to Stillness in the Storms. I'm Stephen Webb, your host. And this podcast just helps you through some of life's more difficult challenges. So I don't have adverts on my podcast. It's paid for by people like you that just donates and treats me to a coffee. And that helps to pay for the hosting, the editing, all the promotion and all of that. So I don't have to bore you with some adverts before you get to the podcast. So thank you to all of you that donate and support and pay monthly. You guys are awesome. We do have a WhatsApp group that you can join, and sometimes it's really active, sometimes a little bit quiet. It's not a completely in your face one. It's not. And we do some accountability. We're working out exactly what we're going to do with it. So if you'd like to join that, if you become a donator, any amount of money, any amount of donation, you donate one coffee and you're welcome to join. But anyway, let's get on with today's episode. So I was asked by Toby in the group about imposter syndrome and anxiety. And it made me think about it. And it's been a couple of weeks now since he asked. And I've been really thinking about it when I'm sitting in council meetings and I'm doing my thing and driving around in my chair. And I really suffer from imposter syndrome. I don't think for a minute I should be there. I don't think when I look around, I see accountants and architects and lawyers and solicitors and these people who have been traveling around the world doing their professional business. And I'm sat there thinking, do you know what? I'm here because partly I'm in a wheelchair and maybe people vote for me because they feel sorry for me. Or maybe they vote for me because they think it's a different angle. But I didn't go to university. I didn't go and get any qualifications. I haven't got any letters after my name. You know, I didn't even pass my GCSEs at school. You know, I can barely read through a book without it driving me crazy and struggling. You know, I am really that 33% book reader. And I'm just learning that's okay. And every room, every meeting I go into, I'm a trustee of a local charity, CEP, and Community Energy Plus, and they help out with some government money, some money from different sources. They help people that cannot afford to pay their bills, mainly their gas and electric, and they might help them to replace the boiler if it's getting too old and to be more energy efficient. And also they give advice to companies to become more carbon zero and helping out the environment and all that. So it's a good all-round brilliant charity. And I sit in with the other trustees and I think, oh, wow, I shouldn't really be here. I haven't got the depth you guys have got. You've got years of being an architect. You've got years of working in the health sector and all that. What have I got? Yeah, they welcome me. And I even sent an email when I got elected on Cornwall Council. And I looked up and said, well, I feel like I've earned my place now. And one of them got back and said, you've always been here. You've earned your place. But you know what I mean? It's like very often we think we don't deserve the place, but we do absolutely deserve a place. And I'm going to share one more story before I get onto my advice and my thinking. I was mayor at this point for 3 weeks, and I was invited to a climate change conference. So I went there, it was at the Elverton Hotel, and talking to people and all that. And I knew I was on the panel that afternoon for a Q&A. So they set up a table up the top of the room, and there's a room full of chairs and all that. And I was on the left-hand side of the panel as you look at the panel. And next to me was an expert from University of Exeter that he'd wrote books. He'd done all these things about climate change. Next to him was someone that was part of setting up, it was the cabinet holder for the environment for Cornwall Council. And then next to him was, I think it's the person that was partly to do with organising the event itself. And they had a real big background. So all these people have presented and done something during the day. And here I was, just the mayor of Truro. And the first question come along, and I was like, please don't come to me. Whatever you do, don't ask. And there was someone there comparing it. And someone asked in the audience about climate change and what we're going to do and the big picture and all that. And how do we align? How do we get everybody on board to try to do some of it? And I'm a firm believer in climate change. I think, just laying my cards out there, I think humans are causing it in a much faster, rapid way than it ever happened before. In my 20s, I used to say it's not real because I knew more than all the climate. I wouldn't have suffered from imposter syndrome in my 20s. You know, I knew more than all of the climate change experts at that point. And I used to say, well, the Earth's warmed up 6,000 years ago and there weren't a 4x4 then. I knew nothing. So the irony is, when I didn't have imposter syndrome, I thought I knew everything. There you go. And it just makes me laugh when I think about it. But I was there, sat on the end, and that big question come along, how do we align people? How do we get people behind it? And I was just like, looking at the rest, thinking. And they passed the mic to me. Here I was, holding the mic. And we each had about 3 minutes to answer. And bear in mind, the guy sat next to me was the person that had done the lectures already that day. And I started. I said, look, here's the thing. I don't talk to anybody that doesn't believe they want to live in a healthy environment full of parks and nature and clear air. So whether you believe in climate change or not, how about we just focus on creating an earth that we all want to live in? And I said that in about 3 minutes. So I probably rambled it, but that's the gist of what I said. And then they passed the mic to the next guy. And he looked up and said, what he just said. I couldn't say it better. And in that moment, my imposter syndrome didn't disappear. I thought it had. For like 3 weeks, I was like jumping in the air. And so there I was without imposter syndrome, all done. Nah, it doesn't work like that. Here I was a few weeks later in another meeting, chairing the council, feeling absolutely dreadful, terrified, not thinking I'm up for the job or not thinking I'm qualified to be there. And over the past 2 or 3 years, probably 4 years since then, I've learned that my anxiety doesn't go. My imposter syndrome doesn't go. It's still there. Even when you get more and more qualified, more and more meetings. Right now, I've got to write in a page of explaining why I would be a good vice chairperson for one of the committees. But I haven't wrote it yet because I'm thinking, I haven't got the qualifications to do that. These councillors are way more qualified than me. They're older than me. They're more cleverer than me. They've got all these different qualifications under their belt. But yet, I chaired planning for a year. I chaired whole Truro City Council. I've chaired the finance now for the last year. You know, I have. If I read my CV and it was someone else's name at the top, I would have a different opinion. And I know it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, I've done these things, I now don't. The point is, my imposter syndrome is no different today than what it was when I had nothing, when I had no experience. And the same with the anxiety. To the point where we had the first full council meeting 2 weeks ago Tuesday, and I left the house that morning. I had to get my carer to get a jug because I was feeling so sick. I was literally sat next to the bed going, I can't go, I feel sick. And I was urging and everything. It doesn't go. And I think on that point, just the same as I talk on podcasts all the time about these 10,000 voices. Listen to the voice, but don't make that voice the one in charge of you. That's the important part. The voice is okay. That voice of anxiety, that voice of imposter syndrome, just to go, hey, are you sure you know what you're doing? I don't think you do. And the anxiety, you go, get out of here at all costs. And then another voice comes in and goes, no, hang on a minute. you guys. Thank you for putting your nose in, but it was okay last time. Perhaps we can do it. Perhaps we can sort it. And that's what it is. That inner dialogue in your mind that I used to hate. That inner dialogue is just sorting out the voices, sorting out the things. I don't mean voices like, oh, you're going mad, you've got voices. We've all got voices in our head. Well, I found out recently, not everybody. Everybody's sane. Everybody that's got empathy, anybody that has got any kind of awareness, self-awareness, probably has voices in their head that is second-guessing things. And I think that's okay. I think we should embrace those voices. Just don't give any of the voices way too much power. The problem is, if we listen to them too much and give them all the power, they take over. They're in charge. It'd be like sitting there and the voice of anxiety is like a 6-7-year-old. The voice of imposter syndrome is probably the teenager age, where the teacher and you didn't think you were qualified to read aloud at school and things like that, or something happened on your early years of working and all. And that narrative all the time is, the voice is from a certain time and an age, but it's part of who you are. And I think that's okay. My voice of 7 years old that's still trying to fix the whole world still gets upset now because it realizes it can't. And on that weight of the Cornwall Council on my head, I just had to pause this recording because someone's just phoned me about a family that may end up homeless in the next 7 days because of something. And I'm like, oh my God, how do I do it? How can I help? How can I fix this? But you do what you can from where you are and you realize that, thank you, that 7-year-old, for deeply caring. But the adult has got to also say, thank you. You've put your bit across. I now need to do what I can. And then someone says, well, that's worthless. That's a pain. But what's the point? Or whatever. It's like, and then another voice comes in. And that's it. That's the dialogue. I think that's perfectly normal dialogue. I hope that you can still hear me over the dog next door. It's part of the podcast. It's part of life. Do you know what? It's so nice to hear kids out playing next door. And we've had an elderly gentleman living next door to me for years. They've been there for over 40 years. They weren't elderly, clearly, 40 years ago. But he passed away after being there a long, long time. And now we've got a younger family in there. And it's lovely to hear the kids. And I'm no longer waiting for silence for the kids to stop playing to record a podcast. I'm just going to record it anyway. And if you can hear the kids or the dog, it's part of it. So yeah, going back to imposter syndrome and all that, it is what it is. The main thing is, if you look at it, a room full of your voices, and if that 12-year-old stands up, and you're the adult there, you're chairing these voices. And that adult, that 12-year-old stands up and says, you're not worthy. You're not, you shouldn't be here. You should go back in your hole. You shouldn't bother trying. You're going to go, look, thank you. You've had your say. Could you please sit down a moment? I appreciate what you've got to say, but can you please sit down? Anybody else got something to say? And allow the other voices to have their say as well. The brave one that stands up and says, do you know what? I think you should do it anyway. I think you got something to say. And then that brave voice is accompanied by a few other voices. That one fear voice stands up and goes, look, I'm frightened, but I'm going to keep quiet because I'm going to let courage take over here. And it sounds so simple, but it is simple. But it's not simple. It's the paradox of the podcast, the explaining it, the book, the psychology book, all these self-improvement books. That's the simple part. And we've simplified it right down to a meme on Instagram right now. You know, imposter syndrome's not a problem. Listen to the voices, but don't let them take control. We've simplified it down so much now that we're finding it hard to realize it's that simple. And it is and it isn't. The difficult part of it is doing it again and again and again. And just coming back to it. Okay, it's back. Hi, how are you today? Like an annoying little lad down the road that comes up every morning. Hey, how are you doing? Can I walk down the road with you and just tell you about my book I keep reading. Tell you about trains. It's like, okay, here we are again. Go for it. And that's what it is. It's about touching it lightly. It's about not denying. I think it also comes back to the fact that we're trying to make everything the way we want it for comfort. We're trying to control the outside world. And we're trying to, I want to be part of it. I want to step up and I want to do that. But can I do it in my time when I'm ready? And it doesn't happen like that, you know? It's like the new firefighter. He's just finished his training. He's all ready. It's like a great big fire breaks out. It's like, not yet. Just give me a few weeks. I want a few small ones first, please. But you wouldn't say to that firefighter, I don't want you here. You haven't done long enough. You're going to go for it. And that's the point. You need to go for it. You need to do whatever you're doing. So the anxiety and the fear and imposter syndrome, humbling voices. And the last thing I'm going to say, and this is really important. I was talking to a friend the other day about this subject. And I would rather sit in a room full of people with imposter syndrome than I ever would sit in a room full of people that don't believe they have it. Because they're the people that are authentic and true and genuine and second guess. They're the people that will stop things burning down because they'll go, just pause a minute. Let me get my thoughts. Let me get my bearings right. Doesn't mean to say we don't go ahead. It just means we need to think about it for a moment. And if you're not in touch with anxiety, if you're not in touch with those fears, then they're going to come up anyway. They'll just be louder. You know, I heard a quote, I don't know, a few years ago, and it went something like this. Confidence isn't the absence of self-doubt. It's showing up anyway. Do you know what? Just to hold the room, just to be there, it's not about confidence. It's not about knowing that you've got all the answers, but it's knowing you've got a little something to contribute. And you don't know. That's the other thing. This is the last thing, maybe. You don't know if the 1% of knowledge that you believe you have to be there is not the 1% knowledge that they absolutely need on that day. There you go. Just like that. I want to do a Sheldon here and go, bazinga. If you ever watched that program, I can't remember what it is. It's funny. Anyway, right, I'm going to leave it at that for now. Hopefully that helps. Hopefully that just listen to the voices, allow them to have their say, but don't let them take control. You've got 1,000 voices inside. Everyone is a fragment, not a full story. Listen to them and don't let any of them take the wheel. That's today's story. That's today's message. Thank you for donating. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for sharing. You are absolutely awesome. And I love you.